Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum, sisters and brothers of the Nation Villain. Hey guys, this is how it goes down right here at Nation Villain. If you have a question, just ask. All you gotta do to ask a question is press 1 on your dial pad. That's all you gotta do, and I'll see you and I'll address you at that point in time. I have Sister Gidget and Brother Malik on the phone, guys. We're gonna get started right now. What's up, Brother Malik?
Yeah, assalamu alaikum, my brother. How are you?
Alaykum salam, brother. I'm doing good.
Yes, sir. Fine, brother. Great to the God we serve, brother.
Yes, sir. Sister Gidget, where you at, man?
I'm right here. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am. We hear you loud and clear, sister. Hopefully we won't have any trouble tonight so we can get this thing started.
Well, I wanted to greet you, Brother Caesar. Assalamualaikum.
Assalamualaikum salam, sister.
And thank you for being here once again. And assalamualaikum to the Nation Building family and to the nation as a whole and to my family over in Kenya. I want to say Ujambu. And to my family in Nigeria, I want to say Kadu. And to everybody else, I like to say greetings. And let's get started. All right. As you know, we were introducing a new show last week called The Real FOI, and Blog Talk had some technical issues, so I think this is a topic that everyone was really in tune with and wanted to hear, so we're going to conclude the show tonight, and we're going to start from the beginning, and my co-panelists had other engagements, but Brother Malik has stepped up to the plate and helped his sister out. So, assalamu alaikum to you, Brother Malik. How are you tonight?
Wa alaikum salam, Queen. I'm fine by the grace of the God, and I want to thank you for inviting me, and I pray to Allah that we will be able to do this work and be able to give some advice to those in the nation who have questions concerning the topic of the real FOI.
Yes, sir, absolutely. Well, I know that you will represent well, Brother Malik, and I have no questions about that. So we're going to go ahead and get started with the first question. And
yes,
I know you recall me asking this question, but I'm going to ask it again. The child's financial concerns in your conversing with the brotherhood, what has been the other leading reason that the brothers are given for not getting married now?
Well, most brothers, it is finance, and it has to do with what our beloved minister has spoken on concerning finance. Many times he has said to the sisters that, you know, a brother needs to have money. A brother needs to be able to maintain you. A brother needs to be productive. And most brothers in the nation see the MGT, most of them having children, and they're struggling to maintain themselves because, you know, the condition that the black man is under here in the wilderness of North America, where he's on, they have a program, this government, to destroy him. So it's difficult for him to get any type of resources unless he produces it himself, for him to be able to maintain a wife, and not only maintain a wife, but she has children, and then he's obligated to maintain the children, plus he may have children of his own. So that's where I'm here. A lot of the brothers speak about concerning marriage, is that they don't feel that they can live up to the standards that MGT may ask them to acquire in order to maintain them.
Wow. But you don't think there are any other reasons besides finances? I mean, I know finances is key, and I know that the minister has really been firm on that, taking on a wife is a responsibility, but what else? I mean, what other reason could it be?
What else is, too, most brothers have never been in a committed relationship as far as being married. They come out of the world with girlfriends. They come out the world dating. And the responsibility of marriage, there's a fear there because it's always a fear of the unknown. So this prohibits them from making a move or a commitment to someone who really they've never made that type of commitment to a woman before in their lives. So they're afraid of the unknown and the responsibility, doubting themselves, well, can I carry the responsibility that's necessary for me to be a husband, for me to be able to maintain her spiritually, mentally, and financially?
Yes, sir. So that brings me to my second question, Brother Malik, because I want to know, so are the brothers looking at us as more of a responsibility than a mate? I mean, when they look at the MGT, you know, besides the physical attraction and the initial, how can I put it, the initial infatuation with, you know, seeing a sister, getting to know a sister, when they really start thinking about that commitment of marriage, are they looking at us like real responsibility?
I think it depends on the individual. They're looking on both sides. Some brothers look at both sides. Some are looking at it from one view, and some are looking from another. It's not a matter of one particular thing that they're looking at, depending on the individual. You know, when you're looking at someone who you know that you have to maintain and who you have to take care of, if you are a man, you really want to do that. You really want to provide for her. You really want her to be secure, knowing that she has you in her corner no matter what happens in their lives, in her life, that you will be there for her. So many men do want to take on that challenge. Many of the brothers would love to take on that challenge. But in order to take on any challenge, you have to attack one of the things that you have to do. You have to go towards your problem. You can't sidestep them. You can't go around them. You have to attack the problem. So until we get up the courage to look beyond the things that are blocking us and look at the advantages of marriage, because there's much more advantages to marriage than disadvantages. So when we're able to look past that, it's the same thing that we do with each other in the mosque and in the world. We always look at the negative side of things, and that prohibits us from going forward. But when we learn how to look past that and look at the gifts and concentrate on the benefits, then we're able to move forward, because the benefits always outweigh the negative.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay. So now, you know, like, you know, we hear the sisters talk about previous marriages. We hear what we call the lost found sisters talk about previous relationships. And very seldom do we hear the brothers speak to their traumas and their past. I mean, some of them are paying child support and things of that nature, and they've had a bad marriage, but they really don't speak to that. Is that a discouraging factor when a brother considers maybe a second marriage, or if he happens to have fathered a child prior to coming into the nation and he's had hardships in that relationship? Is that a discouraging factor for the brothers?
Yes, it definitely is a discouraging factor for them. Like you said, most brothers, sisters willingly display their children. You know, they let you know that they have children. A lot of brothers. Now, there's some that don't, but most brothers don't come out with that unless they're asked about it by the sister. They don't willingly give it. And most of the time when it's that way is brothers who may not even be taking care of the children that they have. So they don't want to disclose it because they know that they're not doing what they're supposed to do. Now, this does not apply to everyone. All brothers are not like this, you know, and that's sometimes what we also have to look at. When we make assessments and we make so-called analysis of certain situations, we apply it to our own lives and what may happen to us, but that doesn't mean that it applies to every situation and with every brother. So, yeah, there are brothers in who don't willingly bring out about their children because, as I said, they may not be doing their job where their children is concerned. So they're having some type of feedback maybe from the mother because they're not doing that. And in courtship, whenever you go into a courtship, you are to give all the information so a person can be able to judge whether they want to be with you or not. And that's a part of it. It's made caused by them telling that they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. Then that would cause a sister to reject the courtship because she's going to say, if you're not taking care of yours, how will you take care of mine?
And what about the divorce rate nowadays? I mean, you know, we're seeing high inflation of the divorce rate inside as well as outside of the mosque. And I've heard one brother in particular say, you know, I'm not going to even try because everybody around me is getting divorced. And I want to know, have you heard many brothers kind of refer to some of the upper FOI that may be going through a divorce, or some of their personal family members or friends that may be going through a divorce? Is that affecting their decision and their pursuit of marriage as well?
Well, I haven't heard a lot of that personally, you know, so I can't really elaborate on it. But I know that the amount of divorce within the nation itself is as equal to the amount of divorce outside of the nation. And I know that when you look at that it is something wrong. It's telling you that it's something wrong. It's telling you that, you know, some of the values and some of the principles and morals that we as men and FOI and in the nation, women as well, that we are bringing the barometer of measuring what a marriage is from the world. We're not looking at marriage in the way that we are being taught to look at marriage and relationships. So we're using the worldly barometer in order to measure our mates, and we're failing because we're looking at it in the opposite direction in which we should be looking at it. We have to remember that this world is reverse of God, the opposite of God. So they put money first. So when they put money first, and money is supposed to be the third or the fourth principle in a marriage, so then it means that it's in reverse. So anything that's in reverse is doomed for failure. So some of us see that. We may not expound on it, but we see that. So this is one of the reasons, some may be one of the reasons why brothers look at those that do as divorce is something that they don't want to deal with. Because, pardon me, we're not dealing with it with the right mindset.
Yes, sir. Okay. All right. Well, let's get down to the nitty gritty now.
Okay.
So, what about the restrictive laws? Have the restrictive laws and the implementation of the Form 4 has it proven to be difficult for the brother? And the sisters, as you know, for that matter?
It's not difficult if you love the law. It's not difficult if you're striving to be righteous. If you want to be right, then you will love the law. If your desire is to live the life of a Muslim and to live the way that Allah intends for you to live, if that's in your heart, if that's in your desire, then you welcome the law. Those who do not welcome the law are those that will fall by the wayside, and eventually, in this transitional period, they will drop off. That's why we saw, I remember in our mosque, in mosque number 7, on the night when we came in to sign the form, the mosque was packed with believers from everywhere, believers that we hadn't seen and God knows when. Don't even remember them being in the nation, but they were there to sign the form. And once they signed the form, we didn't see them anymore. So what is that telling us? That's telling us that they came to sign the form, but they had no intentions to giving their lives to the law. So those that remain are the ones striving hard because they want to be right. They want to get right. The minister has taught us, why did the nation fall in the first place? Because there was no love for the law. The law was obeyed because you did not want to get put out of the society, out of the community, but you didn't love the law. We didn't love the law. So now he's teaching us and showing us how to love the law. And in loving the law, then we will get to love one another the way we should, and the nation will be strong, and the nation will never fall again.
Okay, so let me ask you. Do you think that and I'm not speaking for all brothers, of course, but there are some brothers who may pursue a lost found. And do you think that pursuit of the lost found is because they don't have to adhere to the restrictive laws? And, you know, is it is it a problem for them to kind of, like, be themselves within that law? And maybe that's why a lot of them choose to, I would say, for the lack of a better word, engage with the Lost Found Sister versus engaging with an NGT?
Mm-hmm. Well, those that do that, one thing is that they do not want a virtuous woman. There's no way that you, in your right mind, if you understand the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad given to us by Minister Farrakhan, and you're constantly studying, and you study self, and you know self, and you're getting to know self, and you're getting to know God, that you will desire anything that will go against what you have seen and believe about yourself and about Allah. So most brothers that do that, they're looking at it from a satanic mind. They're looking at it from a mind of the devil. Whenever you desire the physical form of a woman first, then you're in the realm of Satan and his thinking. This is why he places the woman in the negative sense that he does on media and TV in order for us to look at that, lust after that, and desire that. So if you want a woman who is of that nature, then you are not on your post. You are not on your square. You do not want to obey that law. You are in a cardinal mind. You're in a mind of lust and of looking at the body of the individual. And looking at the body of the individual, as the minister has taught us, beauty is not physical. Beauty is, that's attraction. Beauty is germinated from within the very core, and it comes from in out. It's not from out in, which again is the opposite of God. So if you look at someone from the inside and you fall in love with someone from the inside, no matter what happens to the body, then you will stay in love with that person. I remember as a child, one day I saw this beautiful sister as a young man, and she was with this guy, and physically, I'm like, brother, you know, not to be funny, but brother looked like he came out of the cage in the zoo. But you could tell by the way she looked at him and the way she walked with him and how proud she was that she loved him. And what I learned from that is because she didn't see the physical aspect of the brother. She loved the brother from the inside, which is who he truly is. So when we desire outside surface things, we don't know what we're getting. And that's what also brings about divorce. Because we look at some of the MGT also, some of us, on from the outside inward instead of from the inside outward. And then when we get involved with them and we see the dark side of the moon, then we cannot deal with that. Because we haven't went through the process to look at that and see in the beginning, are we willing to accept that part of her, and will she accept that part of me?
Okay, so, I mean, but now, I heard what you said about the law of sound, but let's look at it like this, because we've been taught that when we find a good Christian, we find a good Muslim, and when
mm-hmm.
you find a Muslim, you find a good Christian.
Mm-hmm.
So now, I'm not talking about the, you know, the streetwalkers and the Susie names and them. I'm talking about some real sound sisters out there. And, you know, I personally believe that love supersedes all things. But I just want to know, what is your view on the FOI marrying the Lost Found? That it's a good, righteous, wholesome relationship. You know, it's not just love. I mean, what is your view on that?
My view on that is that it depends, because you, like, what is a good, righteous woman? Or even if she portrays herself to be that, does she realize that is that what she really is? You, as we know, the world of Christianity that was given to us by this world is not true Christianity. And if you're living under that type of law and rule, most sisters that I've seen, and again, not all, in the world, that's following the teachings of Jesus in the sense that was given to us, they will marry someone, or they will lay down with a man and then marry him later. which brings it, makes everything in reverse. When we know that we shouldn't lay down with one another until after marriage. And then this world gives us this analogy that, well, you need to do that first because you need to test the water so you know what you're marrying. You need to test the water because how would you know if the sex is good? That's, see, and that's what they're based on. They're based on the cardinal, even these sisters. They might, the nature of them may be righteousness. They may think they're living righteous, but they're not. And the man that desires that, he has to desire that type of woman in order for her to get to him, because if she's a true Christian woman and she's living in accord to the rules and laws of Jesus Christ, then she will, even then, she will not sleep with this brother, FOI or otherwise, until he marries her. So the bottom line is that this world is geared in reverse, and we're seeing it in reverse. Even FOI, whether they're Christian, Muslim, or Hebrew, because as the minister teaches us, he said a good Christian is a good Muslim, and a good Muslim is a good Christian if you only understood. But what is that? What makes us that way? And he said what makes us that way is that a Muslim is one who submits his will to do the will of Allah. A Christian is one who is crystallized into the oneness of God, of Allah, under the name and title of Jesus Christ. So then if you both are following it in that sense, then you have the opportunity to live that kind of life. But if you're following the world of Christianity in the way that's been given to us by this world, then you're not living a true Christian life, and you're not living a true Muslim life. So birds of a feather flock together. Because both, neither one of them, whether he's an FRI or she's a lost found sister dealing with Christ, they both are not on the straight path to Allah. So they can accept those type of things from one another.
Yes, sir. All right. Okay. And I'm going to ask one more question before we take questions from our audience. Do you think that the brothers are sensing desperation from the sisters in the mosque to go into courtship and to be married? I mean, are the sisters appearing desperate to the brothers, and brothers looking at them that maybe they're possible gold diggers or something like that? Because I recently ran into that scenario, and I was just wondering, had you been able to bear witness to any of that type of behavior?
Yes, most definitely. This past weekend, matter of fact, here in New York at Mosque Number 7C, our Brooklyn Satellite Mosque, we had a single social event, and the brothers were there. And afterward, there's one particular brother who, matter of fact, he called me yesterday. I had audited him, and he came back to call me to thank me. And he was he's in a courtship right now, and he shared with me. He said that this is his second courtship. He said the first courtship failed because the sister said to him, when I can marry a brother, if he buys me an engagement ring, and if it's not of a particular value, then I will not marry him. So he said that busted up the courtship. So, yes, they do, brothers do feel that with some sisters, that they're in a position now where they want a husband so bad, because you can feel it. In the as we were socialized with one another, we went through a drill where it was like about 40 brothers and 40 sisters, and the chairs were facing each other, and we sat in front of each other and faced each other, and we had 2 minutes for each sister to ask questions, and they asked us questions. Then we would move from to the next chair until we revolved, until everyone went and spoke with every sister and every brother. And through the questions that were being asked, you can tell. And then also, I personally feel, because I love the MGT, and I feel their pain. I feel their desire to be married and want to be with an FOI. And it's now it's so deep that you can feel the atmosphere from it. It's in the air when you walk into the mosque. So, yes, sister, there is a desperation. There's an impatience in being wanting to be married with sisters and as well as brothers, but sisters more so.
Wow. So what is the ratio as you've been able to examine it? Are the sisters outnumbering the brothers still?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Quite, because when we look at, matter of fact, you know, we're getting ready to have our singles retreat. And there, the sisters, well, I believe over a month ago or more, they have registration for them, 100 of them. They've already been registered. The brothers, they're pushing it now to get more brothers so they can match the sisters still, because there's a shortage of brothers. So, yes, that definitely is a fact, that there are more sisters than the brothers.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, I want to see if we got some questions now before I get to my second part of the show.
No, I don't see any questions. Everybody seems content. We can continue the show. We're doing good. Got a lot of people interested. A lot of people on the phone line.
Well, they need to ask some questions then. Okay. All right. Now, Brother Malik, I want to ask you about the structure of the mosque, because, I mean, there are a lot of people who, of course, are not Muslim, and they don't understand the structure of how brothers have to sit on one side and sisters have to sit on another side, and how we are taught to handle one another properly. And I just want to know, do you think that the structure of the mosque in itself makes it difficult for the brothers to approach sisters? Because I remember being in the mosque, and I mean, brothers would approach you with reverent fear, you know, because they don't want to be misunderstood. They're walking on eggshells. They, you know, they're nervous. They're lowering their gaze, you know, and everything. And so I just want to know, do you think the structure of the mosque has anything to do with the brother's ability to pursue a sister? He feels that, you know, he may be inadequate in some kind of way and not approach her correctly. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that the structure of the mosque is something that is necessary. That has to be put into effect, else we will be going buck wild. We need the structure. When Master Prophet Muhammad put that into effect, he put it in effect, but because for a reason, he's the best knower. Whether we understand it or not, he put it that way, and the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad enforced it, and the ministers doing it as well. No, we have to have that barrier, because that stops us from going over that, crossing that line that, as we just spoke about, with certain individuals who are going outside looking for those other than members of the nation, those lost found sisters, because if that was the case, then we all end up being lost found in the mosque. So, no, that we need that. That's a prerequisite. That's a training. And for how to treat a woman and how to look at a woman and how a woman should look at a man and how she should discern herself with a man. No, we need that. But the problem with the brothers is because of the way that they were raised in the world, they don't know how to approach a virtuous woman and have a conversation other than with their minds drifting off in the areas where they should not go. So that's where the fear comes from. What's in my heart? See, we're living in the time of the manifestation of defects, where Allah is bringing everything out. I don't want to talk to this sister if I'm in the wrong mind and what's in my heart really comes out and I say something wrong to her. So let me just back up a little bit. You know, how should I approach it? But they will learn that by coming to these events, coming through the events that the single social committee puts on to socialize with one another, coming to the study group. I remember I wasn't there in the nation at the time, but I remember those that were in the nation telling me that most marriages came about during on Friday study group, because you got to see the mind of a person and how they thought. So now that most believers don't even really attend the study groups, they don't come to the social events, so they don't know how to socialize properly with one another. So there's a fear there. I can't see a sister, you know, and say, how you doing, baby? You know, I've been, you know, looking at you, you know, what up with you, baby? You know, you can't approach them like that. So that's all they know. They don't know how to approach a woman in any other fashion. So like everything else, we have to be trained. We have to be trained in order to know how to respect her, knowing who she is, knowing her true purpose in life, knowing that she's not our woman, she's God's woman. So we have to look at these things, and we need the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad in order for us to get this thing right.
Okay, so how do you think we could go about encouraging the brothers? Because I heard you mention the singles retreat and how the ratio is just kind of way off on the brother side. And I don't think it's really due to the population of the membership. I just think some brothers are just very reserved and just really don't want to participate because they feel inadequate in some type of way. What can the brothers do to help one another to, you know, be encouraged and pursue marriage from the MGT?
Well, we just have to be true to one another, and we have to sit down and talk with one another, and we have to know one another and find out who we are as individuals and have a communication and a relationship with one another. Most of us, we say we're FOI or we're NVT. Not, you know, we're striving to be that, because as the minister said, he's the only true FOI. But we're striving to be that. And in order to be that, first we have to learn how to communicate with one another. You know, we have to really be able to discern ourselves with one another. And I'm going to give you an example on a personal level. I had a particular brother in my mosque who whenever we were having conversations, he would come out with a subject. We'd talk, speaking about a particular subject, and he would come out and say things that was contrary to what we were saying, or he would come off with something that didn't even apply to what was being talked about, and I would get aggravated with the brother. And so one day, recently, this past Sunday, we had a meeting, and it came out that the brother was in a horrific accident. He almost died, and Allah blessed him and brought him back. So when I heard that, I was like, wow. I said, that's why the brother does what he does. Now, I'm making a judgment, an assessment on him by his what he's saying to me and to us personally, not knowing his history and not knowing really what happened to him. So I stood up before the body and apologized to my brother because I looked at him on the surface. So it said we have to get to know one another as brothers, and then when we know one another, then we can encourage one another. A brother is willing to follow, you know, whatever you may ask of him, especially something of good when he knows that you have his back. It's difficult to follow someone when you have doubts about him, when you're, you know, when you're looking at him with a crooked eye and then ask him to come to the retreat, and he's like, he's feeling from you, this brother don't really care for me. I don't desire to go anywhere that he wants me to go. But if I'm a true brother to him, then he's willing to listen to me, and then he's willing to follow the God in me, and then he will eventually may come into coming in to those type of situations willing to try because he see that you're trying.
Right, and you know, I want to encourage, I know a couple of ministers that listen in every now and then. I want to encourage the ministers out there to kind of implement more sociable events for the singles, because I really believe on both sides, MGT and FOI, that, you know, as we practice of how to socialize with one another, that it will erase some of those the anxieties that we have about talking to one another and give us an opportunity to really get to know each other in a righteous setting. And so I think it would be a more relaxed atmosphere on both sides. Now, I want to bring up the subject of baggage, because, you know, when we talk about baggage, we always talking about the sisters. You know, they sisters are emotional, and they've been scarred, and, you know, they had this type of man and that type of man, and, you know, they traumatized. And the brothers sometimes say, well, you know, I don't want to deal with that sister. She's been through a lot of changes. However, we have some brothers that have been equally as scarred and equally as damaged to a certain degree. And I know that you are an auditor, Brother Malik, and I know that, excuse me, that tool of auditing is being used more what about the brother's baggage? I mean, I'm not trying to get in the FOI class because I know better, but is there any training or teaching whereas the brothers can be more forthcoming about some of their experiences and showing that softer side and really speaking to their own insecurities so that that line of communication can be open, it can be honest, and so that sisters can understand them better? And it'll, to me, it'll make for a better relationship. What you think?
Yeah, definitely, sister. Definitely.
Excuse me. Can I interrupt you guys for a second?
Yes,
ma'am. Can I interrupt for 1 second? Sister Gidget, can you turn your phone up a little bit? Because your phone sounds like it's turned down. And hear you. I mean, I know Brother Malik can hear you, and I can hear you a little bit, but your phone sounds like it's turned down.
No, I'm hearing some interference, but no, my volume is all the way up.
Hey, Caesar. Sister Gidget.
I think that's Brother Rakim's phone.
You think so?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, sister. I'm in a spot where I'm not making any noise. I don't know what that is.
Okay.
Well, maybe I'm just enjoying the show too much and I'm too damn excited over here. I don't know what it is.
Okay. Well, thank you for joining the show, Brother Rakim.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Malik.
Well, alaikum salam, soldier. How are you, brother?
I'm fine, by the grace of Allah, brother. I appreciate you for coming on the show. You're doing such a wonderful job. I couldn't have said, there's so many things I want to say. I'm not going to say it, brother, because I don't want to take the show from you, brother. You just go ahead and do what you do. I'm loving it.
No, brother. I would welcome your anticipation, brother. That's what this is about, brother. Let me hear your view.
Yes, sir. You on point, brother. You on point. Sister Gidja asked a question earlier, and I don't want to go back. I should have actually said something at the time, but I just wanted to hear what you had to say about the matter first. So I didn't say anything. I didn't intervene in no shape, form, or fashion. But she was talking about the divorce rate. I mean, I want to just. We will revisit that at a point or another, and I got something I want to say about that. But
go ahead, brother. Say it.
I would say this. The divorce rate, we talk about the divorce rate, and because you got so many people out here, and you got sisters and brothers, they manipulate one another to even get in a relationship. You know, they put on fronts. They'll fake the funk until the very end. And a lot of these brothers and sisters are getting married simply because of financial security. I mean, it just sold me the reason. Just like Brother Malik, a woman is fine or man, he got a nice physique. They get married for those reasons there. But the real problem is that person's mentality. You don't know what you're dealing with. You're looking just at the outer appearance, and you don't know what the hell you're dealing with. Then you get into that thing, and then you find out that you done married a monster or a pro instead of a prince, or a witch instead of a queen.
That's right.
I mean, Brother Malik, you have to excuse me. You come from an educated point of view. Yes, you're doing a wonderful job. Brother Rakim will come at you from a street point of view, and I'll put the teachers in it.
Yes,
and and that's the way it got to be done, because we got so many of our brothers and sisters that come from the streets. The teachers have cleaned them up. But some of us still have that street mentality, and that street mentality seems to manifest itself when we get ourselves into relationships or when we deal with the opposite sex. And that street mentality will not present us as civilized people once we get into the relationship, because it will fall. Right before our eyes, it will fall, because no longer are you a civilized man. You're not a civilized man. You're a street man. You're a street woman. You can't take the street mentality and to a relationship and expect that relationship to come out to be paradise.
Okay. Well, I get your point, but, you know, even coming from the street, Brother Rakim, because, you know, your sister grew up in the concrete jungle. So,
yes, ma'am.
Even coming from the street, you have to realize that we still have that nature, we still have a desire to marry and to have a family, and regardless to what background that we come from, and we utilize the tools that we have, but no one actually set before us a roadmap on how to get this thing right until you go into the Nation of Islam. Now, being raised in the Nation of Islam, it's a difference between brothers and sisters that are coming in. And so as I've heard brothers and sisters who come in from being so-called lost sounds into the nation, it's a totally different process, but we are all products of our environment. So making that transition, you make that transition in degrees because your faith and your knowledge, wisdom, and understanding also comes in degrees. So at that time, when you're still growing, you still have the desire to do the things that everybody else wants to do. People want to get married, you know, they want to live a comfortable life, they want to have children, they want to raise families, but not realizing that the sickness that is within us often afflicts us. And so until we come into the teachings, a lot of people don't know that. But I don't think that that's a reason to be discouraged, because I think that if you find a person who understands and realize that marriage is a continuing growth process, it's going to be peaks and valleys, and every day is not going to be peachy king, you know, and realize that from the beginning, I think they can grow through it. And I'm going to show you in a minute, because we're going to get you married this year, too.
Yeah. Probably. You see how sister get in trouble.
If you want to.
Hey, well, I tell you what,
I'll speak to that a little bit on that as well.
Yes, sir. Brother,
okay.
Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I'm from the streets, brother. I was in the streets for 40 years, brother.
Fighting
against what I knew where Allah wanted me to go. I was like that, you know. I was like running from my assignment. But what I learned that because of my love and knowing what right is and being taught what right is, raised that way as a child, even though I went contrary to that, that seed was planted in me, not only by Allah, but my parents more or less watered that seed, and it was germinating in me all along. So when I heard the truth and heard the teaching of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that made me want right, regardless of what I've been through in my life. I desire to live right and do right and be right and think right. That's still my desire today. That's what pushes me to do the things that I'm striving to do within the nation. So I want to live a righteous life. So in wanting to live a righteous life, I want a righteous woman. I don't desire a street woman. I don't look at women even in the street the way that I used to, because now I know who they are. So when you get that, when Allah blesses you to have that in you, then when you look at situations in your life that may come up dealing with wanting to be married and dealing to want to live that type of a righteous lifestyle, then it doesn't become a struggle anymore. It comes a part of you, and you know that you're not complete until you have that kind of person in your life. Because the other way, that person is not going to permit you to achieve what Allah placed you to do and to be in your life. You're going to go in the opposite direction. And that's not, I've been in the opposite direction all my life, so I don't choose to go that way anymore. So it's a matter of choices. What do you really want? Do you really want to be married? Do you really want a righteous woman? Do you really want her, look at her in the way that you should look at her? What her purpose in life is, what God placed her in the world to do, to be a comfort to you, to be encouragement for you, to push you toward that in which God gave you, to help you to be that which he desired for you to be, and that you both reach that pinnacle of life together, the beauty behind it, when you finally climb the ladder and you can get up into the mind of God together. That's one of the most beautiful things that any human being could ever have in his life. So when you want and desire that, then divorce is not even in the picture. I was married, as some of the people know that I've shared with, I was married for 35 years to my wife before Allah took her away 2.5 years ago. May Allah be pleased with her. And I was not in the Nation of Islam. And me and my wife really didn't understand the purpose of marriage, didn't really understand the context of marriage. But we made it through, and I've kept my vow that till death do us part. So no matter what I went through in that road traveling toward being one with her and going to the end, the things that happen in the middle, really it doesn't even matter. Because I went through what I needed to go through. And also through my experience of being married, I learned what to do after 35 years and not what to do. So next time I make the move again, I know without a doubt how I'm going to treat my wife. So there's no uncertainty in me where marriage is concerned. I want marriage. So when you get that type of a mindset, we're taught in the beginning to study ourselves. Why? So we know everything about ourselves. And when you know everything about yourself, then you are able to truthfully share about yourself that with others. So we have to. So that's what we have to deal with, brother, dealing with, look at some of the things with divorce.
Well, you know, Sister Brother, one thing I can say about relationships, most of, and like you say, we got to study ourselves. We got to know ourselves. First of all, we got to know Allah, mm-hmm. know God. And Christians out there, if you're listening, God is Allah. Allah is God. There is no different God that we as Muslims believe in. I just want to stress that point because I hear this time and time again, you Muslims believe in a different God from my God. Well, that's not true. Not at all. But I want to say this. Being ourselves is a lesson that cannot be stressed enough amongst us as a people. We are forever trying to be something that we're not. But one would expect that type of behavior from a couple of people that have lost their self-identity. Would you agree?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes,
all right.
Sir.
Look at the falsehood that goes on in our so-called relationship today. We got to look at this. And this is why we got so many damn divorces. Everyone is so unauthentic, playing some type of character role to manipulate people and situations just to selfishly get what we want. This is insanity. You know, we look at the divorce rate inside the Nation of Islam. Okay, I've always said this, and Sister Gidget, you know, and Brother Malik, if you read any of my posts, mm-hmm. I always say that we still have that Negro mentality. And with that Negro mentality, some of us manipulate our way into a relationship by pretending to be something or someone that we are not, just to get in a relationship or just to be with somebody. Why would you manipulate your way into a relationship?
Well,
Sister Gidget, go ahead, sister.
You have to look at the history of our people. I'm not trying to teach you on no history lesson, but let's just take it back for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we look at our family situation, in the black community in particular, we have to look at the amount of young men who have grown up without fathers. And we have to look at the amount of young women who have also grown up without fathers. And when there is that absence of that initial love for a man, the first man that a daughter is supposed to love and admire and respect and learn from is her father. When she is absent of that, and if the first person is not an uncle or a grandfather or a stepfather, when the first person that she begins to admire is someone of the opposite sex, and she's in her adolescent stage or her young adult stage, and it's the wrong man, she don't know it's the wrong man. She just knows it's a man. And if that son had never had any anyone to teach him, like a grandfather or an uncle or a stepfather or another male role model. If he's never had that lesson, well, maybe mother might have had a couple of boyfriends here and there, and he's absorbed whatever negativity he saw in those relationships, then he's really freelancing when he goes out there. So it's a lack of knowledge, too, because I don't believe in our nature. Because we are in our nature, we are righteous. But our horizontal nature is so full. It's fed constantly in our society, even in our schools, when we're supposed to be getting education. Our horizontal nature is fed. And so we kind of bring that with us. It becomes a part of our fiber and our personality. So we don't do better because a lot of us don't know better. And then when we are trying to be taught, we're still hanging on to the lessons that we learned in the world. So, you know, we got some issues that we have to address, but, you know, I don't believe that people are no good. I just think that they become victim to whatever their environment has been. And if there's a negative environment, you're going to have a negative result. I mean, that's just the bottom line. But there's always a room for point of correction when it's the true desire of your heart.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
Let me say something to you, brother, as well, on that.
We have a couple.
Okay,
questions.
Go ahead. Yes, sir, my brother.
We got 616 has been 615 has been holding for a while. I'm sorry, 615. Your line is open now.
I'm just listening. I don't have anything to say. Everything is so interesting. I don't have a comment or anything. I'm just taking it all in.
Okay, you must have pushed your thing by accident. 850, you can go ahead and speak now. The line is open.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam.
Your brother Jerome X from Tallahassee.
Assalamu alaikum,
yes,
brother
sir,
Jerome.
Brother Jerome.
Wa alaikum salam, brother Jerome.
I just got off work and I'm back at home, you know what I'm saying? I'm just listening in, and then there was something that was really said that I don't really have much to say right now, but I do. I want to pick up on the point where it says that we are now Muslims, and then now we're still trying to play the Negro mentality, and then there was another point mentioned on being righteous. You want to live a righteous life. Once we become Muslims, if we take that hand of becoming, wanting the desire to live a righteous life and then put forth the everyday effort while I'm single, I'm looking at it that it's looking good, you know. My steps and stages of preparing for that, being prepared for receiving that wife in that day to come is doing well, doing my part as a man. It's going well. Because why? I want to live that righteous life. It's going to reflect on that day.
Yes, sir.
Now, the thing that I like when I heard about manipulation, that's a, you know, it's like that's embedded in us. Like she said, it's not fire, you know. But really, it's almost like this. My first relationship, really, to be married to, was when I gave my oath to the Nation of Islam, and I stood up, and I started to participate in the services with the Nation of Islam. It was almost like a relationship with a wife, because every time I come to a class, every time I come to a Sunday's meeting, there's always something that a man has to do, sisters do it too, but a man has to do when he's in a relationship is participate, giving charity, which means not only just it's only about money, but you have to have finances. When we go travel together as a FOI team, there's always got to be finances for whoever the brother's driving the car. We got to put money in his car. We got to continuously be a provider. So that's like even you can't pimp the Nation of Islam. So if you're not ready, then you're going to have to be like always calling in late or calling, you know what I mean, to get yourself right so you can help. So you can help build this nation. So that's like almost like the very first relationship that a man or that I'm seeing for me that I'm being able to get involved with before I'm ever really step into this marriage thing that I do desire. And see, it's like the Nation of Islam, every step by step is continuously educating me and preparing me to be solid with that woman when that day comes.
Hmm. Yes, sir.
All right. Well, thank you for calling in, Brother Jamal.
We have another question from 646. Go ahead and ask your question, 646. Your line is open.
As-salamu family.
Walaikum salam.
As
Forrest, Muhammad, New York City. How y'all doing?
Fine, by the grace of Allah, sir, and you?
Big brother Forrest. As-salamu alaikum.
Yes. Salam, brother.
Salam.
Yes, sir.
Show was wonderful, of course, and I want to start with this question. I know my brother Malik can definitely answer it. I know all the brothers and sisters can answer it, but why is the double settler on the best part of the planet Earth? And I ask that question for those who are in the Nation of Islam. You know the answer. And it's because the earth belongs to the righteous, the original righteous man. I'm just paraphrasing right now. And I never hear anything good said about marriage that often anymore. You know, you don't hear people say, I'm happily married. That might be one of the reasons why brothers and sisters are not getting married. We stay on the negative. We stay in what the divorce rate is. We stay with the things that we know are wrong. Let's talk about what's right. For my sojourn in the Nation of Islam, I've noticed that those who have walked away from what got them together, the teachings, that's what forced them. They stop sojourning. They stop participating in mosques as much as they used to. You know, brothers and sisters start sojourns before they got married. They were, you know, at every mosque meeting, basically. They were at every major event. And, you know, you could count on them like the sun. Then they get married, and then they disappear, and then they're back in the mosque a week later after that. The minister, the captain, trying to get their relationship right. Allah is at the head of this, and if you trust in Allah, you might find out that marriage is a wonderful thing. I just wanted to bring that to the forum. Happiness. There are happily married beliefs. I'm happy to be one of them. I think I'm happy. My wife tells me I'm happy, so I feel no more.
She told you.
But sincerely, I'm happy. You know, I always use this example. When I was very, very ill, and, you know, I was in the hospital for about 3 weeks, and my wife came from work every night. This is an MDT, and slept on the floor. You know, she had a nice big bed at home, and she could be comfortable. But if I was going to die, she was going to be there, so to speak. And that's how ill I was. And that's the kind of support that a black man needs. And, you know, and of course, I could talk about things I've supported my wife in, but I really want to talk about that for a while because we seem to be ones with intrepidation. Sisters are ready, and we are hesitant. And maybe because nobody is saying, I'm happily married, or I was happily married, you know, and I loved it. And most people that you hear now talk about it while they're married, they get so sour, you know. So we have to get off the sour and get on to the best part of the planet Earth. And I want to leave you, agree with you, and agree with peace, Lost and Legal. Well, like
a salam, brother.
Salam, sure.
Thank you for calling in, Brother Forrest.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yes,
may I speak to
hey,
that?
And I'm going to leave you, agree to you, and agree with a few stuff as well later.
Well, my pleasure.
Thank you for having
me. Yes, sir. Anytime.
May I speak to something? Something that came to me while Brother was speaking.
There's a lot of feedback going on. Listen, if you're on the phone and you're not talking, please mute your phone because we're getting a lot of background noise.
The only people on the phone are you guys, man. I'm just letting you guys know. The only people on the phone are the ones that's on the panel.
Okay.
Okay. Go ahead, Brother Malik.
Yeah. When Brother was talking, we were talking about the brothers and why they do some of the things that they do. What I just came to me and what I just saw is that, you know, when we look at the world and we look at how the household, most households by design, the woman is the head of the household. The man is not there to raise the child, especially the man child, to be a man. The minister said, how can you know a man if you never met one? So for a man to look, be brought up in a home where the woman is the head, how does he know how to be the head of a household himself? How does he know how to carry the position that he was designed by Allah to carry if he has no example? If his mother is the example, then he follows the feminine side of God, and if he follows the feminine side of God, that overpowers his position as being God. So then he becomes, look at his mother, is that in which he should be, because she's his example. So then when you look at a mother who talks against the father, a mother who tells a child, you look like your father, you're not going to be any good, just like your father was no good. And now you're asking this same brother about marrying a sister who the mother has put in his mind these negative things, and he's looking at himself in that way. How can he be confident feeling that he could lead a sister when he hasn't experienced how to lead himself? So we have to look at these things, because there's a lot of things involved. And it's a thing where even when we deal with these situations, I know from auditing, we blame ourselves for the way that we are. And we should never blame ourselves for that, because we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. We were born into a sinful world. We don't carry our sins. We carry Satan's sins. But we look at it as if they're our own, and we beat ourselves down, and we look at ourselves in a negative way. You cannot look at yourself in a negative way and present yourself to a sister who's thinking positive. So the fear is that she will not accept me. I'm not where she's at. I'm not on the road that she's traveling. I may be on the road, but I'm way behind. So, you know, until a brother gets confidence in himself and truly believes who he is, what I see a lot of in the nation is that most of us, we have, say, we have the utmost faith in Master Farah Muhammad, that we have the utmost faith in God. But then when we look at ourselves, we do not have faith in our own selves. So if we don't believe in ourselves, then we don't truly believe in Master Farah Muhammad the way that we say we do. So then this hinders us from moving forward. We're stagnated in a world where the environment we're really still a part of, because we're not coming to the classes. We're not involved with the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad on a daily basis. So we, in order to do that, we have to stay in the hospital of God in order to get better. You can't go worry about your job every day and miss mosque meetings and don't come to classes. At some point, you have to make certain sacrifices in order to come to the classes and believe in Master Muhammad, that if I'm doing what he's asked me to do, that he's going to make sure that I'm provided for, even if the white man cut me away from my job. So we have to change our mindset and believe as believers and go past belief and go into knowing.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. All right. Okay, so Brother Malik, before Brother Rakim came on, I was asking you about the baggage of the brothers, because, like I had mentioned before, we oftentimes hear that sisters have baggage, and I want to know, in your opinion, because you're a man, you know, what would a sister have to say to you to get you to open up about some of the things that may have traumatized you in the past, because I know brothers hold on to stuff, and, you know, they sometimes they are aggressive, you know, sometimes they harbor this anger and this resentment, and they're taught that, you know, men don't cry, and they're taught to be logical and not show emotions, and, you know, if they do, they weak or they punks or sissies or whatever. But, you know, I think that a lot of times when a man in particularly is allowed to release and admit that something hurt him or show that emotional side, I think it makes for a better relationship because it frees him to a certain degree. So in our approach as MGT to brothers who may have had previous bad experiences in relationships or family life or whatever, how do we approach a brother about addressing those issues?
Well, me being a certified auditor, auditing is one of the keys or one of the tools that we need to use. With the situation that we're dealing with in life, the minister has taught us, he said, face your fears and they will flee from you. We have to learn how to face our fears and stop running from it. What we are and what we did in our lives, again, was not us. We were taught to do the things that we did. We were trained to be that way. When we realize that this is not us and we should not take the blame of this upon ourselves, then we'll be able to present ourselves and talk about it with others, because we really understand that it's not us. When we really examine ourselves, accept your own and be yourself, know yourself. To know yourself is to know Allah, and to know Allah is to know yourself. So when we use those first principles that the God gave us before he left us and apply it to ourselves and look at ourselves and have confidence and faith in who and what we are, then you could talk to anyone about yourself. Because you don't down yourself. You're talking to someone to give them information about yourself. You're not giving them information, worrying about how what they think about you, how they're going to receive you. Because if they're not meant for you, no, if they're meant for you, no matter what you tell them, they're going to accept you. So we have to get past that, worrying about what the next person is going to say, how he's going to think about me. Because nobody's going to like you 100% if you 100% right and exact in everything you do. Look at our beloved minister. Look how beautiful of a man he is. But there are those that don't like him for their own personal reasons, for things inside themselves that was placed in them where they don't really look into a human being. They look outside of a human being. So we have to do that. We have to learn to look inside others and look inside ourselves. We have to study ourselves. And then when you see who you are and you remove all the garbage that's on top of who you are, then you can present yourself in the way that you should. I've experienced that personally by going through the process of auditing myself, because my desire is that whenever I do get married, I don't want to bring the garbage in my relationship. I don't want to bring whatever I had in my previous marriage that was not good to another relationship and put it on some sister, because I'm looking at her through the eyesight as I did in my first marriage. So until I remove that from me and able to get into myself and present myself in the best manner, then I wouldn't have a problem, because I would know that all the good that I've done in my life far outweighs the things that I did was wrong. So I can present myself in that manner, knowing that as I have a dark side, she has a dark side as well.
True indeed. Sister Gidget, one thing I do want to say.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, brother. I wanted to make one vital point, but I will do it after you finish.
Go ahead and make the point. I'll ask the question when you get done.
One thing I do want to say, and this being in relationships myself and having studied relationships, and like you've said many times, Sister Gidget, we must, as male and female, we must become friends in order to build a relationship. Some men and some women, they go into a thing and they're afraid to express themselves because they have not built the proper relationship with one another. And a lot of times we have not done that based on our fears and bad baggage from past relationships. And I said that to say this. When something has hurt you in your past, whether it's something in your childhood or if you went through a bad marriage or you were in a bad relationship, you had a boyfriend who used to beat you or a girlfriend that treated you bad and you know, and when you share these experiences with the person, they should never throw it in your face.
That's right.
You should never throw the dirt in your loved ones or your mate's face, because this breaks down the relationship where there's no communication, where you can actually get to know one another. And there are many times when, even myself, I have told Sister Steens, and I'm going to share a little personal things with you all, just a little bit, briefly. Yes. I have told sisters things of myself, and they, you know, and we got to be honest and truthful. We got to stand on truth as we are part of the Nation of Islam. We got to stand on truth. When you dealing with a person, and that's why brothers that are FY need MGTs, or a good Christian sister with decency and morals and values about herself, where she won't do the things that I'm about to express to you. You go through a bad situation. You tell that significant other, then soon as she gets mad at you or he gets mad at you, well, that's why such and such did that to you. That's why this happened to you, and that's why that happened to you. You know, you have shared personal information, but now this personal information that you have shared with this person has been dumped in your face, and now you're feeling like crap because you're like, damn, should I really have told her that? Mm. Or should I have told him that? Mm. I mean, this is very damaging, and we need to start doing this to one another.
Yes, sir.
You know, if somebody shares some information with you that's very personal, let's say a brother got molested or a sister got molested. Okay, that is something very, very sacred. You know, it's like very sacred or secret information that some people don't want to share because they don't know how a person may perceive them later or down the road. So we must first become friends.
Mm-hmm.
We got to become the best of friends.
Mm-hmm.
And you must be comfortable telling your significant other anything. If you share the same pillow, you should be able to share your darkest secret with your significant other.
Mm. Yes, sir.
Don't throw in your mate's face. Okay, that's why your last husband beat the hell out of you. Because you run your damn mouth too much.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that is something that we need to stop doing.
Yes, sir.
It's bad. This is just one example I just wanted to share.
Okay, you do too long.
Yes, sir. That's definitely some baggage.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, once that happens to you in your next relationship, you'll be more likely to refrain from sharing.
Sister Gideon, I can barely hear you. I don't know if the rest of you guys can hear her. Can you guys barely hear her?
Yeah, we can hear her.
Yeah,
I hear her, brother. I hear her. Yes, sir.
Okay.
All right.
As you were saying,
brother. Huh?
As you were saying, Sister Gideon.
No, we're gonna go to another song, and then we're gonna come back and conclude the show. So,
yes, ma'am.
You got another song for us?
You guys, can somebody tell me what she said?
She said, do you have another song for us?
We have 505 as a question. 505, your phone line is open. Your phone line is open.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam, sister.
Sister Native Angel, how are you, beloved?
Word.
I'm good. How are you? How's everybody?
Oh, fine, by love.
Fine, ma'am.
Oh, I had a question or a comment. I believe it was another had mentioned earlier about righteous women. I just had a question about that. About and including myself. So my question is, for sisters like myself, how do you respond to brothers who are unpleasant towards you about being righteous? I mean, you do your part by the reason of said thing. I mean, just doing what...
This is breaking up.
I'm sorry, can you speak up, because your phone is breaking up and I can barely understand what you're trying to say.
Can you hear me now?
We're right.
Go ahead and proceed with your question.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, go ahead, sister.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm not sure what you did you guys hear my question?
No, you were breaking up. She said to repeat it.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just asking regarding, I believe it was Brother Malik was talking about righteous women, and I was just wondering, what do sisters do in regards to that when you're doing your part and you're preparing yourself for your husband-to-be when you're living by the restrictive laws and a brother states to you that it's a flaw because he feels like you're being too righteous for him? I mean, what do you do then? It's kind of a confusing and contradictive at the same time, because you feel like you're supposed to be doing the right thing, but he feels like you're doing way too much of the right thing. I mean, how do you go about that?
Well, sister, there's
that's what you do. You walk away.
Yeah, wow, sister, you took the words out of my mouth. I'm getting ready to say you don't give up your righteousness for anybody. I don't care how much he feels. There's no such thing as too much righteousness. So when he says something like that, that's telling you right off the bat he's not for you. You don't compromise your righteousness for anybody. You stay by yourself and stay with Allah. Allah says that Mr. has taught us that Allah says Allah may not have given you a man because he wants to be your man. He has to be first. And if he's not first, then you can't replace him with anybody else. He doesn't want that of you. He don't want that for you. So any brother that comes to you and tell you that you're too righteous, I would put on my garment and I will run as fast as I could in the opposite direction.
All right,
true indeed,
sir.
True indeed.
I'm going to address the MGT right quick. You know, as hard as I appear to be in the paint, y'all, I'm a real woman, and I love the brothers, but I love Allah first. Mm-hmm. And no matter how a brother comes to you, and I know it gets hard, I know you get lonely sometimes, but it's not worth you displeasing Allah to try to please a man that tells you to turn away from the restrictive laws that Allah has established for us. So be thankful that the brother revealed himself so that you can dodge that bullet. I would say all praise is due to Allah, brother. I'm so glad you let me know you're a fool. So I ain't even have to go through it with you. I can just let you know right now, ain't nothing happening. Doing about faith, and you have been dismissed.
That's right. That's right.
I'm going to say something. I'm going to say, Sister Name of Angel, I'm going to say something. Stay on the phone for a second. It's Brother Rakim talking. And I want to say this. I want to make a point that we have not made. A lot of us, and I want to say this, a lot of us act like we're so robotic because we're now Muslims. I mean, one thing for sure is you stay on your post. You never, never, what's the word I'm looking for, Brother Malik? You never compromise your righteousness.
Right.
You never compromise your righteousness. You never deviate from the teachings. But you must show your personality. You cannot act like a mute when you in a relationship or you dealing with somebody of the opposite sex. You act with that person the same way you act around your brother, your sister, your family.
Right.
I ain't talking about all that smoking and drinking and crazy and shaking your booty. I ain't talking about all that. I'm saying you have a damn personality.
Right.
People want to get to know you.
Yes, sir.
I cannot get to know a woman if she acting like a damn robot. If she's sitting in a chair, she all straight, and she don't smile, she don't show her teeth, and she don't know how to be a person.
Yes, sir.
We must not. I mean, if you look at your minister, he has a personality. Now, we don't, most of us don't know him one-on-one, but even when he teaches us, he gives us a bit of himself. He gives us who he is. So what I'm telling you is, when you're dealing with somebody opposite, you need to show them who you are. I cannot get to know a damn robot. I'm sorry.
You should be ready for the world.
I might as well go to me a toy store and get me a damn R2-D2 or something if I want to get to know a robot system.
Digital display.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so, it's not that you customize your righteousness. Some brothers just want a sister to show him who she is. I can't get to know you if you acting all shy and afraid and you can't express yourself to me. I don't know who the hell you are sitting across from me. So I want you to open up. You know what I'm saying? So it may not be that he wants you to compromise your righteousness. He just wants you to show him who Sister Native Angel is.
Okay. Yeah, okay, but Sister Angel, you heard what I said.
And you heard what I said.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, I did.
All right. I'm saying the same thing. You get your shoes, and you walk the hell away. That's what
right.
you do.
That's right. That's right.
Okay, so Faith, if we don't have any more questions, I want y'all to listen to this song. This is a song by Donny Hathaway, one of the most beautiful love songs ever made. But the special treat in this song is that he's singing the acapella. So if you want to hear something beautiful, listen to this song. Brother Caesar, you ready? Y'all tell Brother Caesar what I said.
She's looking for that Donny Hathaway song, Brother Caesar.
So many places in my
Let's go.
I sung a lot of songs. I made some bad ones. I faked it all my life in stages with 10,000 people watching. But we're alone now, and I'm singing this song to you. I know your image of me is what I hope to be. I've treated you more kindly, darling, can't you see? There's no one more important to me. Baby, can't you see through me? 'Cause we're alone now, and I'm singing this song to you. You taught me precious secrets of a true love withholding nothing. You came out in front, and I was hiding. But now I'm so much better, and if my words don't come together, listen to the melody, 'cause my love is in the highest. I love you in a place where there's no space and time. I love you for my life, you're a friend of mine. And when my life is over, remember when we were together. We were alone, and I'm singing this song to you. I love you in a place where there's no space or time. I love you for my life. You're a friend of mine. And when my life is over, remember when we were together. And we were alone and I was singing this song to you. We alone and I'm singing a song. We're alone now and I was singing a song to you.
God have mercy.
Hey, listen. Hey, I'll finish singing now. Let me clear my throat.
Dang, man, I'm ready to get married tomorrow now.
Listen, just so y'all put your headpieces back on. I'm through singing.
That was beautiful.
Oh, that was beautiful.
Hold on a minute. Okay.
Hey, Sister Gidget, you all right over there?
Stop crying. Everything gonna be all right.
No, don't cry, sister. No, I knew I didn't sound that good.
Okay, we're gonna move on. And Brother Malik, I want you to enlighten us on the effects of auditing. What I would call premarital auditing. What are the benefits?
Oh, Lord, there are so many benefits. Wow. I'll just go through share a personal experience that I had with one of my auditing sessions. I went over to the org. This was last year, New Year's Eve. They had a snowstorm that New Year's Eve. And I got there, and I was the only one there. So I went inside. So one of the people from Scientology was there, and they took me upstairs and put me through an auditing session. When they took me through the death of my wife, they took me to the death of my mother, they took me to the death of my father. When I got to the death of my father, my mother was standing over his coffin, and she was yelling, Jesus. She was continuously saying, Jesus, oh, Jesus, help me, Jesus. As I was listening to her in this session, all of a sudden, I bent over in my chair, doubled up in a fetal position, and I actually saw myself coming out of my mother's womb. My mother was calling Jesus then as she did over my father's coffin. As I came out of my mother and the doctor handed me to my mother, they wrapped me in a lime green blanket. She pulled the blanket off my face and she looked at me. My father was there, and my father was a dark-skinned man. She looked at me, and she said to my father, George, she said, he's a boy, and he's black, just like you. So when she took me through that, the auditor asked me, he said, are you in? I said, mine. He said, do you feel like you have to carry your mother's burdens? I said, yes, I carry her burdens because my mother struggled so long in life that I feel I have to carry her burdens for her. He told me that what that meant was that one of the reasons why I treat women the way I do, which is on a positive level, is because I feel like I have to carry the burdens of women in pain. So I learned about myself, something about myself through that. A brother recently came up to me and said to me out of the clear blue sky, he said, brother, he said, you know what? We all have a feminine side, and do you know what your feminine side is? He said, your feminine side of a woman is that you're a nurturer. So I'm learning all these things about myself, and what they show me is that some of the things that I do in my life, now I have a reason to understand. I can see and understand why I do what I do. When a person rids himself, as the minister is teaching us, of these demons, of these forces that had this reactive mind that has been placed on us from this white man's world, because he, the reactive mind, belongs to him. Once we rid ourselves of that, then we can see ourselves for the first time in our lives, because none of us that have these demons have ever truly met themselves. So if you don't know who you are, how can you present yourself to someone else? How can you tell someone about who you are if you don't know who you are? So the benefit of auditing contacts you back to yourself. And once you get to know self, as the minister and the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad has taught us, then you get to know God. So this, when we do that, and we share that with one another, who a sister who's gone through the auditing process and you've gone through, then you're able to audit one another. You can sit at home with your spouse and you're able to audit one another. We're instructed while in the nation that the minister doesn't want brothers to audit sisters and sisters to audit brothers, but once you are in a family relationship with her, you're able to do this with one another and get rid of all those aberrations, to get rid of all those triggers, that when things that set you off and you don't know why they set you off. Even though you try to control them sometimes, you just can't do it, because this thing, this demon in you, is telling you to go ahead with what you're feeling and not using the power of your mind as Allah does in order to control your emotions and not let the emotions guide you, but letting the mind of God in you guide you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Woo, that was a very deep story, Brother Malik. My goodness.
Yeah, that was deep. Sister Kitchen, don't you cry. Don't you cry.
I'm not going to cry. I'm all right. I'm good.
All right. Yes.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
I think we got about how many minutes, Brother Caesar? 2 minutes? Oh, I forgot. He can't hear me.
Mm-hmm. How long do we have, Brother Caesar?
We have 21 minutes and 50 seconds.
21 minutes.
21 minutes and 50 seconds, sister.
We have another question. Tell her that we have another question by 301-301. Go ahead and ask your question, please.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Alaikum salam, ma'am.
This is Sister Mildred from Maryland, and I have a comment about your question about what can sisters do to help brothers who are trying to express how they feel. I think brothers and sisters have to create a safe environment for someone to deposit their feelings with them. And in making it a safe environment, like the brother said, I'm sorry, I could not hear your name, that you have to develop a friendship first. And in that friendship, then you get to know that person and you're able to express yourself as freely as you need to, because we're supposed to be in an environment of freedom, justice, and equality. And it has to be on a mutual level where both of you feel comfortable talking about what you feel. I think when it comes down to expressing those deep issues regarding if you've been raped or molested, that has to be up to the individual whether to share that information or not. There are many women and men who have been abused that don't feel comfortable telling anybody because it's just so sensitive of an issue that it's just uncomfortable. So you have to allow them that space and assure them that once they do divulge that deep of a secret, that it will not go out to anyone else. But that's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thank you for calling in, Sister Mildred, and thank you for that view.
Yes, ma'am. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Okay. Is that it, Caesar?
Is that it, Caesar?
Is that it, Caesar?
Okay. So, after we go through the auditing process, Brother Malik, you know, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think the auditing process is kind of like a revelation. It's kind of like you kind of reveal some things and you recognize some things and you can begin to analyze them. But where do the coping skills actually come from in the process of auditing? Because, I mean, you can re-audit and you can address certain issues, but there are some things that run deep and you're not able to let go immediately. And I think a lot of people are under the impression that once you get audited, okay, I'm fine because I've owned up to this issue and I've owned up to that issue, but they don't understand that there has to be a development of a coping mechanism to kind of get them through the things that will, if they allow it, continue to plague them and continue to cause them to react in a way that is other than themselves, and which can make a relationship, a marriage in particularly, difficult. So how do we develop those coping skills after being audited and saying, okay, I put everything on the table, now how do I deal with this? What is the best approach to that?
Well, sister, most of us that are being audited, we're not completing the process. We get audited, we get rid of a few things that may have plagued us in our lives, not realizing that there are things deep sometimes inside of us, which will take a continuous working out, where the process must continue. It's in the book that Mr. L. Ron Hubbard gave us, it says that you should be audited in order for it to really be effective at least 3 times a week. And that's because there's so much stuff on top of stuff that in order to get to what they call basic, which is the root of what's wrong with us, then it's like you pruning a tree and you're cutting off the branches, but you're not getting at the root of the tree, so the branches come back. You have to get to the root of the problem. So the Quran says that we are patient. We are not patient. We're impatient. We're born impatient. We have to acquire patience. All through the Quran, whenever you're reading, it always mentions patience and prayer. Why patience first? Because patience is something that you have to acquire in order to get the results of the prayer. So it's the same thing dealing with the auditing. You have to get to all the things that this is what you get to a point of what they call clear, where everything, all the aberrations that are in you are removed, and now you can see clearly. You can see clearly what's needed to be seen. And with each session that you go through and these things are brought up out of you, it's like It's like a person telling you the truth a little at a time. You begin to trust him, and you will give more and more and more to him as time go or her as time goes on. It's a trust factor that has to be earned. And the auditor, his job is to earn the trust and the confidence of those who he is auditing. So it's a process that we have to get to the point and get to the end result of, and not just be satisfied with the minimal results because it made us feel good for a moment. It made us feel good about we shared for a moment. We have to. It has to be like being addicted to a drug, where once we get relief, we want more and more and more until we rid ourselves of the entire problem that's built and put within us from living in a world of sin and living under the guide and rulership of Satan.
Yes, sir. Okay. All right. Y'all heard that 3 times a week. Wow. That's a lot. All right. So now I want to ask you about the sisters, Brother Malik, because I know you being a man married for 35 years, and you are seeking marriage again, right, Brother Malik? Because you know I'm going to put you on Front Street.
Well, you don't have to put me on Front Street. I'll wave a Eon light and let you know that that's where I'm going.
All right, sisters, y'all heard it. He's looking for a wife. Okay, so what about the sisters? You know, are they making it hard on the brothers, or have the sisters lowered their standards, or have they maintained the standards set for us by the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad?
I believe that we make it hard on each other. It's not just the sisters, and it's not just the brothers. In order to become one with Allah, you have to submit your will to do his will. When you're in a relationship with someone, and you have to learn how to submit to one another. You have to learn to submit to, you know, knowing that the woman is not like the man and the man is not like the woman. You have to be able to, as a man, to, whenever she's telling you something that is of righteousness, you have to submit to the righteousness and the truth that she speaks. Not saying that I'm the man and I don't listen to you. I'm the ruler of my house. You woman, you listen to me. I'm go to school. I go to the mosque and I study and I bring it home and I tell you what I've learned. No, if she's telling you something and it's right, you have to submit to truth if you're striving to live a righteous and truthful life, no matter who Allah sends the message through. So we have to get out of that blame thing. See, this is a blame thing. Oh, the sisters are not doing this. The sisters are like that. The brothers ain't doing this. And then, nah, we got to put all that stuff. But what are we doing that's right? What is she doing right? If you see a sister that's in the mosque all the time, she's constantly studying. She's at all the events. You see her on posts. You see her performing her duties as an MGT. And her seeing a brother like that, then you have the foundation and the base for a relationship that could last forever. Instead of blaming everyone, we look too much at the faults of each other, not only in the nation but in the world. We have to stop looking at that. That's Satan. That's what he wants us to look at. That's what he wants us to see in one another. We have to look for the good in one another. And if we are striving to live right and do right and be right and act right and think right, then it will be natural to sit down with someone who is talking right and explaining things right and giving you the truth that you desire. Nobody likes being lied to. Nobody likes being put on a road where they have to discern whether you're telling the truth or not. We've been put down so much in our lives with this garbage. Man, sister, I'm tired of hearing nonsense. I don't apply myself to nonsense. I don't have time for it. Either you want me or you don't. Either you see potential in me or you don't. Don't come after me because I may have a dollar. Don't come after me because some of the things in life that you desire, you want a mansion and a yacht and you feel I can provide it for you. So you have to go after reality and the core of one another and look at the core of the human being, and then grow from there, grow together. One, I've shared with one of the believers recently, the happiest moment that I had in my marriage was not when me and my wife was prosperous. No, it was not when we was on getting this and getting that. The most beautiful time that I had with her, as I remember, was when we first married, and I'll share it with you because I'm not hiding anything. Me and my wife got married. I was in the penitentiary, and we got married while I was in jail. And when I came home, we didn't have anywhere to live. So we went and stayed with my mother, and my wife got on public assistance to get food stamps and a little money. So we were staying with them. So we went and we found this little hotel room down, and I forgot, I think it was in Manhattan somewhere. It's one of them little shabby places where you got an old nasty room and the bathroom was in the hallway and all type of scrupulous people going back and forth in the hall into the bathroom. But when I look back at that situation with her, that was the most beautiful time in my life with her. Because we were at the lowest point in our lives, but we came up through it together. So that, when you look at the thing, that taught me that the material things, the things of substance, all right, we need that. We need money in this world to survive. There's things that are necessity that we need. But the most beautiful thing is when you don't have that and you acquire that together. So this is how we have to look at relationships. Is she the type of woman that is willing to walk the steps with me, to acquire the things that we want and what we desire together? If she knows that I'm a man of vision, if she knows I'm a man that has a plan, and if she could help me with my plan, are you willing to come on and be a part of my team to help me acquire what I need to acquire to serve my purpose that Allah has given to me? And in serving my purpose, I also help you to serve your purpose. This is where we have to look at with relationships. Not this, she don't do this, he's not doing that, he don't have this. Oh, look at that brother there. He don't salute right. He don't know how to cut corners. I mean, all that is good for his purpose. But you ain't going to be in your house with your wife cutting no corners. So you have to see the reality of one another as human beings, that we were made for one another, that Allah designed us for the purpose to be with one another. Man is not meant to be alone. He made the woman because to give comfort to himself. He made the woman to help him do what was necessary so that he could be in existence forever. So this is the main purpose. We have to keep our eye on the prize. What's the purpose of marriage? What's the purpose of getting with someone? Is it because she looks good? That she has, because she has a big behind? And you know, her boobs show? I mean, is that what you want? So what do you really want? What is your desire? What's the core of the human being that's striving and wants to be righteous and his nature is righteousness? The only thing that you can get full off is your righteousness. You can't get full off the gossip and the slack talk and the surreal stuff and these stories on TV with all this madness and nonsense. And I know personally that's where I'm going, because Allah said when you start hating what Allah hates, you know you're on the right path. So I can't watch that garbage on TV that I used to watch. It turns me off now. Sometimes it even gets me angry. But I can't focus on that. I have to focus on that which is real. And the only reality, as we've been taught, is Allah. God is the only reality. So if I'm concentrating on the God in her and she's concentrating on the God in me, and it's the nature of a woman to look up to the man, especially a man of that reflecting God, then no matter what happens in our marriage, she going to stay with me. She's not going anywhere. She's not leaving when the money run out.
Yes,
sir. So, you know, this is where we have to go. This is what we have to look at. And this is why we have to stop looking at the negative, because every negative in life is a positive to Allah.
True indeed.
Woo!
And I want to say something. And I want to say something, Sister Gidget. And you know, I want to say something. And one thing we must do, and I want to tell everybody, male and female, choose your mate very carefully. This is very important to the healthiness of our nation. It's much easier said than done, but still it has to be done for the sake of yourself, your mate, your children, your nature, your future, your family, everything. You and your mate should be created in a single essence. In a single essence, this brings harmony, balance, peace throughout cycles of time, generation upon generation. Wisdom is given to you so that you may avoid the pitfalls of destruction and despair. So utilize that wisdom in order to benefit from that wisdom. Don't suffer what you don't have to. There's no need to be deeply unsatisfied and unfulfilled in the core of our own souls in an attempt to live an impossibility, all because of dishonesty with our own selves. Your nature yearns for a fulfilling relationship. There is no yearning in this universe that is meant to go unfulfilled. Fulfilling relationships. We got to look at the word relate. You got to relate to one another in order to get married or to have a relationship. That means compatibility. If you're not compatible to a person, damn it, don't marry them. Don't waste your time. Don't waste their time. It can never be achieved with one whom you cannot be compatible with. But they can't be achieved with one whom you can. Be true. Be true to yourself. A fulfilling relationship is very possible if you make it possible. Be patient, and you got to be patient. Be true, and you will have someone to love you for who you are.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Brother Raheem, we got a question from 646. Go ahead and ask your question now, please.
Yes, assalamu alaikum, family. Thank you for a wonderful show. This is Brother Jason X. This right before Brother Raheem made his statement, I was going to ask, just in the nature of Islam throughout the world and in the nature of some of our older civilizations, the elders found that it was a better fit where they would have arranged marriages. And I know that this is it's late to get into it, but I wanted to hear your brother's thoughts on the possibility of arranged marriages instead of us making these choices that we make.
Well, I'll say this, that Allah gave man a will for a purpose, to choose what he desires to choose. And that having someone it's like breeding a horse, you know, to choose someone for you like that, is not of God. Because if that was the case, then God wouldn't have gave us a will. He just would have said, you be with this one, and you be with that one, and that's it. But we have to we have a right to choices in our lives. And it's not right for someone to choose something for you, especially when you're mature and you're able to make decisions for yourself. People make choices for you when you're a baby, when you don't know, because you need guidance. But once you know the guidance and it's time for you to get out there on your own, then you have to make your own choices. No one can make those choices for you. When you study yourself and you know yourself, then you know what you need. You know what you need for yourself in order for you to do what is right and to be right. So, you know, when you do that, then you make a list, you know, and during courtship, you make a list. You make a list of the things, the good and the so-called bad things about you that you need help with. And that's how you weigh and made your decision. You match it up with that person. But no one else don't know that. How could they know that and match you up with someone else? You wouldn't be happy. You're just doing it because someone else said do that.
That's
so,
true.
No, I don't agree with that as far as someone matching you up and saying this is who you marry and all that. No, you have a right to make your You have a right to make your choices in life and walk your own path, because even in those choices, where even if you make the wrong decision, Allah gives you the gift to correct yourself and learn from that. And in that
maybe going that wrong way or taking the wrong road, there's a lesson in there that he wants you to learn, but you'll never learn that lesson if you don't walk that path.
True indeed.
Hey, the show, we're about to run out of time, so we're about to go on a little intermission time. But we have another question from 214. 214, go ahead and ask the question, please. Okay, moving right ahead, guys. You can go ahead and take it. We got 10 seconds to go, but you can go ahead and take the floor now. Whoever wants the floor, take the floor.
Okay, I just want to thank everybody for coming back and listening again. Sorry about what happened on Tuesday. Join us for our shows. We have shows on Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Sunday night. So thank you, family. Thank you, Brother Malik. You are a joy to listen to. Thank you for all the beautiful teaching. Thank you, Brother Rakim, founder of Nation Building, for joining me tonight. Thank you, Brother Caesar. I love you all. And I greet y'all as I came in peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, ma'am.
Wa alaikum.